Notes from America is supported by Future Hindsight, an award-winning podcast that shares big ideas about participating in American democracy, beyond voting, but short of running for office. Join host Mila Atmos for stimulating and incisive conversations with citizen changemakers on topics ranging from gerrymandering, policing equity, and voting rights. In this election year, Future Hindsight offers an unaffiliated perspective into what's at stake and how citizens can make an impact at the local, state, and national level. You'll always come away with something hopeful. Tune in every Thursday to get engaged and stay engaged.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Have you heard of Idina Menzel? She's had so many iconic roles. Which one do you most associate with her?
Frozen. Even though I know she's more prolific for Wicked.
I would probably say Wicked and Rent.
Elphaba in Wicked, of course.
She's in Wicked.
Enchanted.
Both. She's in both.
She's in both?
Yeah, she's in both.
Oh. But in the second movie, she sings. But in the first movie, she wasn't singing. And they were like, oh, she can sing.
She's a Broadway star. You didn't know she could sing?
In the first Enchanted movie, she wasn't singing.
She sings Let It Go, right?
Yeah.
That's where
I'm
going.
Is that one working?
Oh, no. I don't think my vocals are that good.
Could you perhaps sing a line from Let It Go?
Let it go, let it go. Can't hold it back anymore.
It's Notes from America. I'm Kai Wright, and welcome to the show. Tony Award-winning actor and singer Idina Menzel has played a series of roles that inspire much more than fandom. She's embodied that familiar, youthful search for identity and for understanding your place in a world that just maybe isn't designed for you. And she's done that across generations at this point. As Maureen in Rent, she showed us how to be unapologetic about who we are and what we want.
Take me, baby, or leave me.
As Elphaba in Wicked, she created an anthem for rejecting the whole idea of normal. And of course, as Elsa in Disney's Frozen, she told us to just let it go. And she kind of created a new holiday standard with that one, though there's, of course, ample debate about whether it is or is not a holiday song. I'm not going to wade into that. Anyway, she now has a new documentary on Disney Plus. It's called Idina Menzel, Which Way to the Stage? And in the film, she invites us all into her journey from being a little girl with a love for performance to the moment she takes the stage for her dream gig, playing Madison Square Garden. So while the film is on the surface, a tour doc, it's also about her own search for identity and balance and joy. I spoke with her about the film just before it debuted. Idina Menzel, thank you so much for joining our show. How are you doing today?
Good. Happy holidays.
You describe Madison Square Garden as your dream venue in your hometown. So let's start with New York. Tell us what this city means to you.
Oh my gosh. Well, I should start with saying I grew up in Long Island. And it was an exciting excursion to go into New York City all the time to see theater. So it became this very exciting, glamorous place and also sort of the impetus for wanting to perform, you know, sitting in a theater and the lights go down and the orchestra starts playing Overture and Goosebumps, I would get. And that was my first experience with New York City. And then as I grew older and then I went to NYU, the city represented a place where you could be yourself. And it was less homogenous than where I grew up. And it was actually welcomed to be unique and different and not to feel like you had to fit in. And it was a home to artists. It is a home to artists and creativity. And it's a city where when you're feeling alone, you don't feel lonely because you can go out and you walk it off and you can see other people and had that energy. And so it's sort of like a sanctuary in that way.
It's so interesting. So many of us who live in New York feel that way, you know, but it tears you because on one half, it can be a very isolating place. And then on the other half, because of the size and the scope, and on the other half, it's like, oh yeah, this is, and me and Idina Menzel might both be walking around trying to clear our heads right now. It's magical in that way to me too.
Yeah. Exactly.
The documentary is as much about your family life, and in particular motherhood, as it is about your remarkable career. So I want to talk about that a little. You've kind of got this blended family of your husband and your son's father, who is Tay Diggs, and your son.
So taking off my mom's fake hair.
And you show, you know, the sweet moments.
She looks beautiful without it.
But also the challenging moments of that. There's a scene where you realize it's going to be like some weeks before you see your son again, and you're wrestling with this question of whether to fly him around.
I miss my son and my husband, and then I decided not to bring in Walker this weekend because he's got all these games, and I won't have seen him for like 2.5 weeks. So what kind of mother does that make me? And then I'm saying,
can you tell us about that moment and why you're sharing that part of your life?
Well, that's not just one moment. It's all the time. it permeates that feeling that permeates my entire life. It's that constant struggle and balancing of priorities and trying to stay present in my life and also be everywhere at the same time. And I think that as an artist, it's important for us to be vulnerable and authentic in our lives because there's really no other way to connect with an audience if you're not willing to do that. And so I think that so much about art and acting, especially performing, is empathy and the empathic experience and being able to put yourselves in someone else's footsteps. So I just want people to, if they can, to see themselves in my experience and feel accepted in that way and empowered in that way, that, you know, we're all trying to live out our passions and our dreams and to understand that that's really difficult sometimes, and that there's guilt and confusion with trying to do that and wanting to be a great parent while still pursuing our passions in the world. And the impetus originally for the film was just to document a dream coming true, honestly. I wasn't even sure how it would come together, if it would come together. I just wanted to make sure I documented it because I really just want to appreciate the little successes along the way and to not let them sort of get past me, you know, and that's really important to me. And then on that journey of documenting it, I started to realize it was less about a tour doc and just hitting a city and more about the craziness, the spaghetti of the map that you see, as I like to say, and how we're reconciling all of that chaos and how we prioritize things and we're there for the people we love while also taking care of ourselves.
Yeah. I can't help but think, both hearing you talk and watching the documentary, about the conversation we've heard so much about in the last few years, in particular about motherhood and mothers, in the course of the pandemic in particular, having to figure out how to juggle career and childcare and how uniquely that has fallen on mothers in our society and how it's made people think differently about their priorities. I wonder if it's, have you had any shifts in that regard?
You know, I'd like to say it's changed and that I'm easier on myself and let myself off the hook a little bit more and, you know, throw my hands up, surrendering to doing the best that we can. You know, I don't think I'm successful at doing that all the time. And I think it's 5 steps forward, 3 steps back all the time. But what I tell myself to make myself feel better is that I want my son to see mirrored for him, a woman that is strong and passionate about what she does for a living. and fulfilled by those things and understand that I can be there for him and love him unconditionally and also choose to do things that will make me happy. Mm. I think that that for him, or that I want that to attract those kind of women in his life. And I don't just mean that, like, it could be a man, but yeah. Just want him to surround himself with women like that in his life.
Yeah. The other thing you share in this regard in the documentary is that, you know, alongside as you're pursuing this dream of playing the garden, you're also undergoing round after round of IVF, which takes such a physical and emotional toll on anybody. And I just wonder what it was like to, you know, to share that piece of it and why that also felt like an important part of your story to share in this.
Yes. I didn't set out to do that, but it was happening. I had started IVF for probably a year before that. And as some people might know from their own experiences, you have to catch a cycle. Your body has to be in the right place for things to be successful. So you get sort of obsessed with, is this the right month? Is this the time? Mm-hmm. And you're shooting yourself up with drugs and hormones and all this stuff. And so when the tour was coming about, you know, it was like, well, I can't not do this because what if this month is the month that's right. The right time
right.
to make the baby, right. you know, or to get the most, the healthiest eggs or whatever it is, whatever part of the process you're in. So I thought, okay, I'm just going to let people into this world. You know, I had control over it. So I thought, let's film it. If it feels too intimate, I can always, you know, edit it out. But it didn't feel that way. So I think a lot of people go through this, and it's important for people to feel like they're not alone in that. And it's also important for people to see, like you said, it's emotional, but it's also literally physical, the hormones and the way that mm-hmm. you feel. And so then for us as women to put our bodies through that and then try to show up to work and be whole human beings is a challenge.
I'm talking with Tony Award-winning singer and actor Idina Menzel about her new documentary, Idina Menzel, Which Way to the Stage? Coming up, we'll get to the music and to the gift that she says these roles have provided for her. Stay with us.
Notes from America is supported by the Innocence Project, working to free innocent people from prison, prevent wrongful convictions, and create fair, compassionate, and equitable systems of justice for everyone. More at innocenceproject.org. WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Probiotic Drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at zbiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's zbiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Carnegie Hall is one of the most famous concert venues in the world.
The first time I walked on the stage, I felt like my feet were moving, but they were not touching the floor.
Join us for If This Hall Could Talk, a new podcast that explores the history of this iconic landmark through the unique items in its archives. I'm your host, Jessica Vosk, and together we'll explore how the past shaped the culture we live in today. Listen to If This Hall Could Talk wherever you get podcasts.
Let go. Let it go, let it go.
It's Notes from America. I'm Kai Wright, and I'm talking with actor and singer Idina Menzel about her new documentary, Idina Menzel, Which Way to the Stage? The film is in many ways a memoir of her career, but its purpose, the reason she says she wanted to make it, was simply to document the moment she achieved her dream, playing Madison Square Garden. The whole thing is about you pursuing, as you said, this dream of playing the garden. Was it the dream you thought it would be when you got up on that stage?
Yes, it was. When I finally was up there and the spotlight hit me, it was. I was able to sort of be in my body and take it in. And I hope you can sort of feel that from the film. I really made it a point for myself to try to slow things down every once in a while and appreciate the moment. I think a lot of that, setting that precedent comes from my experience with Rent early in my early 20s. Mm-hmm. And, having experienced, being in this new show and our composer passing away on his first preview.
She's, of course, talking about the horrible story of Jonathan Larson, the creator and composer of Rent. The show was his passion, his life's work in many ways. And on the night before it finally debuted off Broadway, he had an aneurysm and died.
It's sort of, it dictates how I wanted to move through my life and my professional career and understand that life is fleeting and doing the work and being a voice and a vehicle for someone else's work is an honor and it's a privilege. And also how, you know, the success ebbs and flows and you go through all of this rejection and it's not all just one sort of ascendance to success. There are a lot of failures along the way. And so it's just important to kind of just appreciate it.
Yeah. You've played these roles that have become so definitive in the cultural imagination for so many people. And in making them, for instance, as you began to embody Elsa, was it clear to you that, oh, this is a big thing. There's going to be a before and after in our culture with this character?
The only thing that was clear to me was that it was really cool to get hired to play, to voice a Disney princess. And, you know, that was a huge coup to me to be sort of welcomed into the Disney family. I had no idea that it would become the phenomenon that it has and that I would be given the gift of such incredible music. And that it would speak to people thematically the way it does and profoundly the way it does. So that was a beautiful surprise. I also, what I really try to take pride in is that I've had several of these kind of roles. I'm not sure why, it's chicken or the egg, or just coincidence, but this idea that I've grown up with my audience is really important to me and something I don't take for granted. You know, having been in Rent and then grown up with those people and now those kids were having kids and they take them to Wicked or to Frozen. And so this idea that it's all kind of come full circle and I can have this audience that consists of little kids in blue dresses and also, you know, 60-year-old gay men and moms. So that is quite an honor for me and something I just, I'm very proud of that.
I mean, certainly Rent was, I'm in the generation for whom Rent, you know, and its depiction of queerness on stage and its wrestling with the AIDS epidemic was just foundational. It was such a foundational piece of work, you know.
525,600 minutes, 525,000 moments so deep.
And then to however many years later, take my partner's niece to see Wicked.
Look to the western sky.
And see how she exploded at that experience to see herself. I hadn't thought of it that way, to be honest. I hadn't thought of the generational passing on that was happening there, but it is very much true.
Yeah, thank you.
What did Rent mean to you at the time? When you similarly, did it feel like, oh, this is going to be a
show?
You
never know at the time. Yeah, you never know at the time because these three projects, especially, but many others that I've been a part of, they especially in the musical world with musical theater, they take years to develop and evolve, and you go through all these incarnations of the script, and so you really are asked to stay process oriented. You know, you really are in the first act of a script, and that's it. And a bunch of you go in a workshop and you learn that and you have a couple songs, and then 6 months later you come back and they've worked on that and they've added or subtracted and written a new song or just cut an old song. And it's a process that I've loved and that I've had the most success with, you know? And so it's just, it's my happy place, you know, to not necessarily know how it's going to do, but know that I'm surrounding myself with amazing creative people and a cast of incredible artists and just sort of creating together and hoping it's going to do really well years later, but, you know, not having that much power over that. So that's a lesson that I've learned that I cherish.
Yeah. What do you hope folks will walk away from this documentary with? It's through this tour, we cover the sweep of your life and your career. What do you want us to walk away with from?
What I want you to walk away from, or what did I learn from the experience?
Oh, maybe it's both. Thank you. Can I do both? Can we ask you both? First, what did you learn from it?
It's kind of the meta of the dream within the dream, right? So, like, I started out to document a dream come true. And then by doing it, once we documented it and we caught everything on film, then we, in order to make the movie, we went back and we found archival footage and to really relish and enjoy the idea that I was this little fearless girl that believed that she had something to offer the world. Even more so than probably I am at age 51, because there's more to lose when you're older and more successful. Mm. And so it was really moving for me to see, like, you know, there were a lot of people that said, don't go into that business. It's so hard and blah, 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 and minor in business. And and I believed in myself. And I, you know, when I was holding that limbo stick at a bar mitzvah, I was like, I'm going to get out of here soon and I'm going to move on to other things, you know? So no disrespect to those people that are holding limbo sticks at weddings or mitzvahs. But so that's the part of it that was just so moving for me and really rewarding. And what I hope people will take from the film is that your dreams can come true. That if you pursue this idea of doing what you love and pursue your passions, that will lead you to beautiful things. And that we all are juggling many things in our lives. We're all trying to prioritize. We're trying to be the best parents, spouses, friends that we could be, while also wanting to have a fulfilling job and do what we love to do. And that is complicated sometimes. And, you know, there's a lot of feelings and sometimes guilt and worry and anxiety that goes along with that. So I wanted people to see themselves, their experience in mine. And it doesn't have to be because I'm a singer in front of thousands of people. It's literally just the idea that we're all working hard, trying to have a fulfilling life, and we get torn in a million directions and have to kind of keep finding our way back to our north, you know?
Idina Menzel, Which Way to the Stage is streaming now on Disney Plus. Thank you so much for
this
time
and
for your work and for what you've done for all of us.
Thank you so much. So honored to be on the show. Thank you.
Notes from America is a production of WNYC Studios. Milton Ruiz was our live engineer tonight. Music and mixing by the mighty Jared Paul. We are produced, edited, and reported by Karen Frillman, Vanessa Handy, Regina Dahir, Rahima Nassa, Kusha Navadar, and Lindsay Foster Thomas. And I'm Kai Wright. Thanks for hanging out tonight. Happy holidays.